You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So ahead of next week's budget speech, National Treasury has given us quite an interesting announcement around the efforts they have put in place to cut some of the red tape that has existed in public-private partnership deals, particularly focusing on infrastructure deals or aimed at boosting infrastructure spending rather, but particularly focused on deals under 2 billion rand. I'm joined on the line by Chief Economist at Efficient Group, Davi Ruit, to take a look at this. Davi, good evening. Lovely to catch up with you as always. Interesting timing of this particular announcement. What do you make of the particular amendments that have been put forward here by National Treasury?
Well, good evening to you. I think it's good news, broadly speaking, and it's just after the SONA. I think the specific legislation was signed the day after the State of the Nation address by the President. I think it's good news, and obviously what is happening, the signal at least that the government is sending is that they want to make it easier for the private sector to participate in all sort of, especially infrastructural investment deals. I think much of the reasoning behind this comes probably from Transnet, I guess some from Eskom as well, but probably a lot of this comes from Transnet, where they are the new management at Transnet, which is that not that new anymore, though, that they certainly would want to get private sector participation as much as possible. So generally speaking, I would say this is good news.
From a government perspective or government department perspective, does this look like it'll be something that will have limitations? I mean, you touch on Transnet, you touch on Eskom. We know that there are other departments like Department of Transport. Is this limited to a certain to any departments, or is this just a government-wide sweep to say all government engagements would be benefiting?
No, all government engagements will be benefiting, so this is broad-based. Any government agency, or state-owned enterprises, various state departments, all of those will be included in this as far as I understand. So it will make life much, much easier for everybody that participate in this public-private partnerships.
Mm. Well, Davi, when we take a look at the implications that these amendments then have for foreign direct investment, you touched on this to say that we're trying to obviously become more appealing to international markets.
Yeah.
Does this setup or do these amendments now then better position us for things like, obviously, the grey listing is something we've had to navigate over the last couple of years, but overall, we've been trying to get this economy restarted, and infrastructure and turning us into a construction site has been the way to go. Does this, from a FDI perspective, then say this is the key, or do we need to hear more?
No, this is not going to make much of a difference as far as that is concerned. As far as the grey listing goes, grey listing, there are other things that we need to do to get us off the grey listing. The single most important thing that we need to do is simply to implement the Zonder Commission's report, what Zonder said we should be doing. Do that and we will be off the grey list before the end of this year. But this has nothing to do with the grey listing. Will it make South Africa more attractive? Certainly it will make it a little bit more easier in some instances to invest. It will make it quicker because they are less red tape. But of course, you open the possibility of more corruption as well. But certainly, it will make it a little bit more attractive. But is this the magic wand? Is this going to lead to this massive inflow of investment in South Africa? And the answer to that is certainly no. We need to make some significant other changes in the economy. We have to grow the economy much, much faster. That means we need a government with a different ideology, different policies. We need a government with that is much more efficient. We need much, much less corruption. And I'm afraid if you look where the South African economy or how we performed the past, say, 10, 15 years or so, we simply did not do that well. And I'm afraid this year economic growth is also not going to get to that magic 3% that the president promised us. So economic growth is the real thing that attracts investors, and the South African economy is not growing, and the South African economy is unlikely to grow much faster than, say, 1.5% this year. This is a little bit, it will add a little bit to economic growth, it will make life a little bit easier, but that's not the real answer. The real answer is we have to make some significant structural adjustments to the economy before we can get economic growth going, and before we will really make South Africa attractive as an investment destination.
Mm. You mentioned 1.5% economic growth seemingly being the upper side of what you see as optimistic or realistic, rather. I know there have been a lot of conversations around potentially getting to 3%, and that seems like a long stretch from 1.5%. But as you said, it's some of the simple things that can get us to that. Do you think that some of those simple things would be addressed in next week's budget speech, perhaps?
Well, a couple of things that I suspect we're going to hear in the budget. If you look at the revenue side, remember the state needs a lot of money. We're running a huge fiscal deficit. We've got debt levels that become unsustainable, so they need more money. They can't really cut back on state expenditure. And getting more money is going to be extremely difficult, especially with an economy that's sort of growing. And on top of all of that, we're probably over the so-called Laffer curve. And if you increase taxes on personal income taxes, for example, you probably will be getting less. So the major things will be on the expense side, the expenditure side of the budget of the Minister of Finance. We know, for instance, there will be a new fund, the 20 billion rand BEE fund. Now, that's the wrong way to go about trying to get this economy to grow. Because how are you going to fund that? This money will be earmarked for a specific part of the population, which is wrong. We know what's been happening in the past week or so or two with Donald Trump as an example. So that's the wrong approach. What we need to do is we have to make sure that we create a very attractive investment destination in South Africa and make South Africa an attractive investment destination, which includes much, much lower taxes, not what we have currently. The tax base in South Africa is extremely narrow. Very few people pay just about all the taxes. The state in South Africa is exceptionally inefficient, and I can give you all sort of numbers. Education comes to mind. Education in South Africa is the biggest expense item, but the quality is not only bad, it's often the worst in the world. That's a wastage of money. And many other examples. So what we need to do, we have to privatize things like Eskom and other parasitals. I call them the parasitals. We have to improve the efficiency of the state. We have to get rid of the silly things like, for example, expropriation or theft. That's what it is. Expropriation without compensation is nothing but theft. We have to get rid of all BEE legislation in South Africa, and we have to put South Africa on a growth trajectory. We're not doing that. So I'm afraid economic growth, we're not going to see. Well, if we see more than 1.5%, I think we should consider ourselves very lucky. In the meantime, the orange guy is threatening us with all sorts of sanctions. If he removes South Africa from AGOA, that's 0.2% off of economic growth. If he puts some more sanctions on South Africa, that's another 0.4% off of economic growth. If he decides to put some financial sanctions on South Africa, that means the rand's going to go pick a number, the bond market's going to go to another pick a number, inflation and everything that goes with that. And then we're going to be forced down to 0% economic growth. So no, we are in a very dangerous place where we are. We have to understand this, whether you like Donald Trump or not. He's the most powerful man in the world, and he's got a certain agenda. Make sure you police his ego, and make sure you stay on the right side of Donald Trump. He can do a lot of damage to this economy.
That definitely is the case from an American perspective. There's no denying America's presence in the global economy. Mdavi, before I let you go, I want to take a look at backlog that we've got. So we're trying to encourage infrastructure. We're trying to stimulate things. But we've got a backlog of projects that have not been done.
Yeah.
And we say that lifting these sorts of red tapes and trying to encourage these things is a good way to tackle that. But it doesn't address the backlog.
I don't like the PPPs. The PPPs, as far as I'm concerned, is a bit of a contradiction. What we need to do is that they say we want to build a bridge build, for example, put it out for tenders, get the best tender out there, and you don't use silly things like, for example, all sort of social objectives that you want to achieve. You get the best tender out there and give them the tender, and that's it, and let them go and build it. You don't need the state's participation in that. You just need the private sector to build a bridge or a railroad or whatever the case may be. You do not need a partnership between the state and the private sector. Let the private sector do that. They can do it much better.
Mm. Can I get your thoughts on an unrelated matter, unrelated to these public-private partnership deals, around the interest rates conversation? Inflation's come down. South Africa's inflation is, for the first time, looking remarkably impressive, and yet interest rates are not matching the pace in coming down. How do you balance that from an economics point of view to make sure that you're still allowing for a bit more room in the economy? Obviously, as you said, there's so many other factors that they should be addressing as well, but how do you balance the interest rate side of it as well, because consumers and South Africans still have to live with those rates?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you can't just look at the last print on inflation and say that's the inflation rate, because there's much more. Inflation is a bit volatile, it's up and down. And of course, there are inflation expectations as well. And that is crucially important as well. So we talk about inflation currently around about 3%. But the actual underlying inflation rate in South Africa is more closer to about 4.5%, maybe a little bit below that. So don't look at the last print. That's the first point. The second point is that if you look at the inflation that we do have and the inflation we had past couple of years, it's mostly because of administrative prices. And administrative prices are prices that are, well, administered by a bureaucrat somewhere or a politician somewhere. Things like, for example, electricity prices, local authority prices, or taxes that they levy, the fuel levy and things like that. And that's the reason why the Reserve Bank wants to have a lower inflation target in South Africa, because a lower inflation target will put the spotlight where it really matters, and that is on those administrative prices. Like, for example, Eskom. Remember, they operate in an environment where they have no competition. The same goes for Transnet. The same goes for the local authorities. They simply know, they can do whatever they want to, because nobody is going to undercut them, because they are not in a competitive environment. Unlike you and I, we will really have to work out and compete with other similar agents in the economy doing the similar, same sort of stuff that we are doing. That does not apply to the local authorities, as an example. So the problem in South Africa is that we've got the civil service, well, the local authorities or various levels of authority, like the state-owned enterprises, local authorities and institutions like that, and they are simply protected from competition, and they are very badly managed, and that's the reason why we have high inflation. So what we need to do, cut the inflation target in South Africa, bring it down eventually to 2%, put the spotlight where it's supposed to be, and that's on administrative prices, and tell everybody the reason that we have high inflation and high interest rates in South Africa is because of the mismanagement of the South African economy through, for example, unrealistic increases in administrative prices.
Shifting our focus, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking at certain things differently, and we need to be looking at them more practically and pragmatically. I think we'll leave the conversation there. Thanks so much, Davi Root, Chief Economist at Efficient Group, on the latest announcement by National Treasury to reduce some of the red tape around some of the public-private deals that will be taking place in South Africa, but also on the general state of where we stand as an economy.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.